I really appreciate the privilege of being in this meeting. I don't know about you, but Monarch is the highlight of my year. I would like to read in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. A king made a feast and bid people to come. What does the word feast bring to your mind? I think of plenty of food. I think of a good time. Something desirable, something enjoyable. And imagine if the feast was sponsored by the king and you had an invitation to come. But they turned down the invitation. I want to tell you a story about the little dog that missed the wedding feast. This is a true story. I'm a witness. I was there. A little dog lived in a small village in a land where dogs are not fed very well. Many dogs roamed the streets looking for food and trash cans and scraps on the road. Some dogs have ribs showing. Others are malnourished and covered with sores. And some die of starvation. This little dog lived at a home where a wedding was being planned. In that land, a wedding is a special occasion for the dogs because of the meal that accompanies the wedding. Dogs come from all around, and they feast on the bones that are thrown aside by the wedding guests and the remains of the plates of food that are carelessly cast aside. This little dog did not know that a wedding was to take place at his house in just a few days. This dog was hungry. And when you get hungry, you can get desperate, can't you? This little dog was very hungry. And hunger is a natural appetite. But if the hunger gets severe enough, you can take desperate measures. This little dog found a dead rat and ate the rat. Unfortunately, the rat died from eating rat poison. And soon the poison began to take its effect on the little dog. And while the family members watched, the little dog lay dying on the kitchen floor. Had the little dog only known, perhaps he could have waited for just a few more days and partaken of the scraps of the wedding feast. But instead, he resorted to a poisoned rat. Back to Matthew 22, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to something. You know, Jesus it seems, had a difficult time explaining to people what heaven was like, what the kingdom of heaven was like. How would you explain to a blind man who was born blind the beauty of a sunset? Could you do it? Be very difficult. How do you explain to someone the thrill of going on a mission trip to Africa if they've never left the United States? The exhilaration, it is a life-changing experience. How do you explain that to somebody? You try, but there are not enough words to describe it. So Jesus tried to explain the desirability of the feast. How do you explain the glory of heaven to people who are earthbound? To people whose focus is this present world, who are after the riches that this world has to offer, that are hungrily seeking after every pleasure of sin, whose eyes are down on this earth? How do you explain to them the glory of heaven? Jesus tried. And he asked the question, unto what shall I liken the kingdom of heaven? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13 and 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. A man who is a merchant man that realizes the value of pearls, recognize this one is so valuable, I will sell all. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's what it is worth. Let us go back to Matthew chapter 22. The king, in verse 3, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Did you know the Lord has given invitations to this great feast time and time again? In Matthew 23 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The invitation has gone forth, even in this meeting, to a great feast, to the kingdom of heaven. The song says, "Oft in the noonday, the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in your bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right." Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The invitation has been given. Whosoever is athirst, this world will leave you thirsty. People are longing for something to satisfy, something inside. And they're seeking for everything that the world has to offer. And they remain thirsty. But there is an invitation tonight. Whosoever is athirst, let him come. Back to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." You didn't accept the first round of servants that I set out. So let me describe to you the desirability of this feast. I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. A feast for a king. Will you come? And they would not come. I have prepared my dinner. Can you imagine what the preparations of a king would have been? I've read accounts of historical feasts, and the numbers of animals killed might be in the hundreds in order to have nothing lacking. A feast of abundance. I want you to imagine tonight a life that is happy, a life that is fulfilling, a life where you are living the ultimate life. And I want to tell you, that is the life of a Christian. It is the best life you could possibly have. You know, the devil likes to paint a picture of the world as being the ultimate, being so attractive, being so desirable, and he especially does this for young people. But I want to tell you tonight, the life of ultimate fulfillment, the life that is the most exciting, the happiest, the one where you just feel like a well-rounded person, you are living life to its fullest, is the life of a Christian. Imagine a life where your very best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I want to tell you tonight, you have been invited to a feast. And maybe you're hungry. This world will leave you hungry. You'll be seeking after the things the world has to offer. You'll be feeding on those things. You'll be going after it hard, and you're still hungry. Isn't that true? I know, I used to be out there myself. It's true. It leaves you hungry. Well, I want to tell you something. Satan has a rat to offer you. And maybe that rat looks good to you. Maybe you're thinking about that rat, but I want to tell you, that rat has poison in it. There was a rich man that missed the feast as well. Let us turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. In other words, this man had his feast in this life. He lived sumptuously every day. Brother David Madden was a Church of God minister that died the same year I was born. I have heard that Brother David Madden said this: "It is not the high cost of living that is the problem. It is the cost of high living." See, living sumptuously, that's what the problem is. How many people in our society today are seeking for that sumptuous lifestyle? Going after it with all of their heart. Everything that this world has to offer you. And they're feeding on rats. This man lived sumptuously every day, a certain rich man. Verse 20, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I can imagine this beggar lying at the gate. Perhaps he could hear the sounds of food preparation going on. Perhaps he could hear the excited voice of guests, the aroma of that delicious food coming to his nose, lying there at the gate. He was missing out on the feast. Just throw some of the scraps my way. Those scraps that you were going to throw out to the dogs, could I just have a little bit of that? But the rich man lived sumptuously. He was enjoying his feast in this life. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. What does Abraham's bosom mean to you? You know, Abraham was the ancestor of this poor man. To me, it signifies going home. A place of comfort, a place of security. He finally made it to a place where he didn't have sores anymore, where he didn't experience the hunger pains anymore, where he had reached the ultimate feast. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. In hell he was in torments. The effect of the poison that that man had been feeding on through his life was taking effect in his life. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Son, remember, in your lifetime you chose that to be your feast. You chose the pleasures of that world. You chose to live sumptuously. You chose to ignore this man at your gate. And you missed out on the real feast. Mr. Fitzgerald was an elderly man that lived down the street from us in Arkansas in the late 80s and early 90s. His wife had died from cancer, and so he lived alone in a small old house. We felt compassion for the old man and invited him over for meals a few times. One time my wife made a wonderful meal, ham, potatoes, gravy, I don't know what all. She really fixed a meal for so few people. Mr. Fitzgerald knew he was invited, and we were looking forward to this occasion. While my wife was busy preparing the meal, Mr. Fitzgerald called. And he kept her on the phone. Mr. Fitzgerald loved to talk. And he loved to have an audience. And he dominated the conversation. And he kept her on the phone for some time. Finally, she explained that she needed to get off the phone to continue the preparations. Well, the appointed time came for Mr. Fitzgerald to show up for supper. And he never showed up. And we didn't know what to do. We couldn't reach him, and finally we concluded he got his feelings hurt because she explained to him that she needed to get off the phone to continue preparing the meal. Apparently, Mr. Fitzgerald missed the feast over hurt feelings. This was not the first time that people we're left wondering what happened in Mr. Fitzgerald's life. He had told us a story about when he was young. One of his parents hurt his feelings, and he ran away from home. He took a car and went to one of the major cities here in the United States. He abandoned the car on the street and went and joined the military. And years later, someone in the military asked him, "Did you know your family is looking for you?" Now, here's my question for you tonight. What did he miss in life? Can you imagine that? We have a song that says, "Wasted years. Wasted years, oh how foolish." I want to tell you something. I have a family that I love, and they love me, and that makes me rich. I value memories. I value the voice of my grandchildren coming up and telling me, "Grandpa," and talking to me. I love that. I cherish that. It makes me rich. You know, Mr. Fitzgerald missed out on a lot of riches. He missed out on a feast in life that he could have had. And he carried these things, this bitterness, this unforgiveness down into his old age. And I'm sure he's been gone for many years now. Really, he missed a feast in life. I want to tell you, life seems unfair. There are all kinds of things that happen to people. Some people have good health. Some people have poor health. Some people are rich. Some people are poor. Some people are born in a country that's very difficult. A lot of human suffering. Life isn't fair, is it? I want to tell you, the very best life you can have is the life of a Christian. It is a wonderful life. No matter what your circumstances, it is a feast. Jesus said it this way. "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The song says, "I am drinking at the fountain, where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay, for I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away." I have found something in life. I'm partaking of a feast. I'm enjoying life. I'm having fun. How about you? Are you enjoying life? Do you feel like your life is abundant? That you're living it to its fullest? Or are you thirsty tonight? Are you hungry? Are you left unsatisfied? There's something deep in your heart that you're on a starvation rations. I want to tell you, there's no cause for it because a feast has been prepared. There is an abundance of love and joy and peace and the fruits of the Spirit for your life. 2 Kings chapter 6. The Syrians had besieged the Jews, and there was a famine in the land. People were getting desperate. It was so desperate that two women agreed to kill their sons to eat. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 26. "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered, 'This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son.' And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel," very little money, "and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." This woman killed her son just a few days too early, because a feast was getting ready to break out in the land, because the famine would soon be over, and she barely missed it and killed her son instead. This Lord on whose hand the king leaned almost made it to the feast, almost got to have that hunger satisfied, but he questioned the prophecy of the man of God. And he died before he got to realize that feast. Verse 3, "And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we shall die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up at twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even of the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." When the armies went from nation to nation conquering, they got loot. And where do you think they put it? They must have taken it with them, right? So here was all this loot left behind. "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it." Feasting time. These lepers had a very difficult decision to make. Do we stay here? We're starving to death. Do we go into the city? They're starving in there too. Do we go put ourselves in the hands of the enemy? They may kill us. A very difficult decision. But they made the right decision that day and opened up a feast for themselves and a feast for the children of Israel. John chapter 14. And verse 2. "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord has gone to prepare a feast for us that is beyond description. We cannot adequately describe heaven and its glories. There are not enough words. The Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's glory, but until she went there and saw for herself, she did not understand. She said the half had not been told. How do we explain the glory of heaven? How do we even explain the fulfillment in life for broken people? People who have been disappointed by what this world has to offer. Unfulfilled, hungry, thirsting. How do you explain the glory of God to those people that are looking for something and needing it so desperately? You know, there's someone who had seen that glory, and that was Jesus. He knew of the glory. Let's turn to John chapter 17 and verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." See, Jesus knew the glory of heaven in its fullness. "Now, Father, glorify me with the glory that I once had with you before the world even existed. I understand the glory. Lord, help us to be able to share with people there is a place so much better than this world and its riches and its pleasures that it starts to look like poisoned rats. Everything this world has to offer, its entertainments, its sins, it starts to look unappetizing once we start to get a vision of the glory of heaven. "Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Verse 24. "Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Father, I want my followers, my disciples, to be with me. I want them to partake of a feast that they can't even comprehend. A place of eternal rest, a place in Abraham's bosom. Father, help them. Matthew chapter 25. And verse 20. "He that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, Thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Lazarus, come on up. Get up from your place of sores. From lying at the gate, come on up. I'm sending angels to receive you and to transport you to a feast that you've been missing all this time. Lord, help us to get a vision tonight that there is something so much better than this world. There is a place of eternal rest. There is a life in this life of victory, of joy, of hope. The world troubles me. I don't like seeing the trend of the world, the trend of the government, the trend of people. It troubles me, but I want to tell you there is a better place. There is a place of a feast that I want to go to, and I hope you do tonight. Are you hungry tonight? Are you thirsty? Just be honest tonight. There's been a longing in my heart. I thought I was having fun, but really, I'm still thirsty. There's an invitation tonight. Come to a feast. We tried to describe it to you a little bit. Whosoever's hungry, let him come. Amen.